last week we left off with a question. The question was, we have the Arayos in Perek Yudches, right, the warnings against Arayos, and then we have the Arayos again in Perek Kaf. And so again, technically the difference is that it's the Onesh versus the Azhara. The question is, why are they mentioned separately in one Perek apart? So, methodologically, one would assumably suggest that it's the Perek in between that needs to come in between in order to get from the Azhara to the Onesh. And I think the reason why, assumably, is because the Onesh is connected to the element that was introduced in the Perek in between, which is Kedusha. Right? The element introduced in the Perek in between, the Perek Ketes. Now, I think you see this when you take a look at the way the Torah presents the Onshim in Perek Chaf. Particularly, let's take a look at Pasuk Zayin. Well, you know, let's start earlier. It's interesting also that the Perek begins not with Arayos, but with
Moloch.
Now, Moloch was mentioned in Perek
Yudches.
It wasn't first, though. Right. Moloch was mentioned, but not first. There is something mentioned beyond the Arayos here that wasn't mentioned at all in Perek Yudches. And that is?
Onesh.
I mean, between the, you know, in addition to the things that are prohibited, there's something mentioned here that wasn't mentioned in Yudches. And that is Ov and Yedoni. What's interesting about Ov and Yedoni is that it's mentioned twice here. It's mentioned in Pasuk Vav. And it's mentioned the second time in the Perek, the last Pasuk, which seems to come after the conclusion of the Perek. If you take a look in Pasuk Chaf Bet, the end of Parashat Kedoshim, Shemarat Mekoch Lotav Yekom Shemotai Vazikim Tav Lotav Ki Eretz Etchem Ha'aretz Shanevi Etchem Sham Lashem Etpo Velo Tuchavu Kuzagoy Shanev Shem Chalem Vabat Tav Shuvat Ad Matam Vivdal Pemen Reima Pasuk Chaf Vav Yidin Lekedosh Gali Shanev Vidav Nolim Vishu Shek Yevim Ovi Yedem 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 Ovi. After the summary, it's mentioned again, which is strange, no?
Looks like an accident, like in terms of flow.
An accident, you said.
Yeah, it looks like
that. Definitely doesn't seem to belong.
Yeah,
definitely doesn't seem to belong. So, we also want to know why we begin with Moloch. But what do we talk about here? Again, they have to kill Skila, someone who does Moloch, right? And then it says in Pasuk Dalet, if you ignore him, right? Then I'll take care of him and his family. The family would be the ones assumed who knew about it didn't take care of him, right? Also, Pasuk Zayin, let's read carefully. V'itkadishtem v'yitem kedoshim, ki ani Hashem alokechem. ושמעתם את רוחותיי ועשיתם אותם אני השם מקדשכם כי יש יש גלו אבי ואת אמו מות יומת אבי ואמו כדל דמיו בו. What does the psukim here that describe Kedusha have to do with the context? I think if you read them together the answer is very simple. The responsibility, where does the right / responsibility to kill people doing these things come from? One thing to prohibit them is another thing to make people, to see people as responsible for killing them. Where does that responsibility come from? Our society doesn't believe it's a responsibility or a right. A person has a relationship with their sister. We have a right to kill them? How does the Torah present it? Where does it come from?
Hashem.
Right, and what aspect, what principle that Hashem gives us to the Kedusha? Meaning, the responsibility for Kedusha isn't just to keep yourself holy, but to ensure the holiness of the camp, the land that you live in. Right? As we say in the end of the Perek, right?
Right.
If we look at the end of the Perek, let's look together. We have a right responsibility to make sure that Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are holy. That doesn't just mean that we do the right things, it's that we ensure, I would say it this way, not just we ensure other people don't do the wrong things, but we ensure that there aren't people and the Jewish people in Israel doing the wrong thing. How can we make sure that? Hopefully we try and stop them, if they don't. Exactly. Krieger's become a death penalty advocate right here. What?
Let's do this.
We have, what's the term? We've corrupted him. In any case, the reason Perakov comes after Perakotet is that we get from the Azhara to the Onesh through the concept of Kedusha. I think this is why Moloch, even though it was mentioned just at the end of the list in Perakotet, fronts the list in Perakov. Why? Look back at Perakotet. What's unique about Moloch? What does it say already there in Perakotet about Moloch? And it's different than the others. We're not talking about Arayos, but I'm not just saying how it's different technically, I mean, what's unique about its principle and its nature.
It's a Chilul Hashem.
Now, one could explain why it's a Chilul Hashem. It's taking the notion of sacrificing to God and turning it into something disgusting. It's a Chilul of something holy.
Right.
Which is a great way to begin a parak that's going to talk about the Onish because of the responsibility to be holy. I'm trying to explain that the reason Molech begins Perek Chaf is because Perek Chaf is coming on the heels of Kedusha. It's being mentioned, we're restating Perek Yudchet because now we've introduced the additional element of Kedusha, and therefore we begin with the thing that's about Chilul Kedusha. And that's of course how we introduce it in Pasuk Gimel. V'ani etein Perek Chaf Paskimel V'ani etein et panai v'esha hu v'echvati eto mikarav aloki mitaron natan l'molech l'man tameet mikdashi u'lechalel etchem kodshi. Everyone sees it? What thing did we not yet explain in Perikov? We mentioned it, but we didn't yet explain it.
What? Last passage.
Right, yeah. not just last passage, but the mention of Ovi Nidoni, which is mentioned twice. Now, that wasn't mentioned in Perik Yudchet, right? Mm-hmm. In order to answer that question, we have to take a closer look at Perik Yudchet. Should we take a closer look at Perik Yudchet? Everyone's in favor?
Aye.
Adi, you're in favor?
In favor.
In favor, okay, so we're going to take a closer look. The most challenging thing about Perik Yudchet is that it seems to be moving very quickly. From thing to thing to thing to thing. As opposed to all the program we've seen until now, we have a unit of mitzvah, right? For example, Perek Yudchet, Arayot. Arayot, Chulis Hagoyim, whatever. Perek Yud Zayin. We did this last week, right? Yes, we did last week.
Yeah, the blood and the...
Perek Yud Zayin is about Shechut Echutz and Dam and Chayim, right? Okay. Perek Tes Zayin, Nevarot Yom HaKippur. Perek Tes Vav... You know, it's Av Zava Nito. You know, Tiras Abayas. Perek Yudches, every pasuk is a new topic. Many pasukim are two topics that seem totally disconnected. Mm-hmm. Let's start from the beginning, right? Kedushim Tiyuk Yelshin. Okay, it's about Kedusha. Now, next pasuk, Ish Yuma Viyavah Firov, and Shapot Tishmoro. That pasuk alone has two topics. And the next pasuk, totally new topic. Avod Azara. And the next pasuk, people. And then, Peah. Olalot, Gneva, not only new topics, but things that have seemingly nothing to do with each other. Mm-hmm. Now, the simple answer is that they're all in this parak because they all have to do with
Kedusha.
Okay, but it still makes it hard for us. Is it just a random list of things that have to do with Kedusha?
No,
obviously not, right? It can't be. I'm happy that we've gotten you to the point where you believe it can't be, right? It can't be. Okay, do we have any structural clues here that can help us figure out how to view the relationship between the components here? Obviously, yes, right? It can't be, we don't have structural clues. There are a number of psukim here that end Ani Hashem Elokecha. In the introduction, Pasuk Bet. You need to be holy, Ani Hashem Elokecha. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ish im aviyav eftirov v'etshatot ha'tishmaru Ani Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk Dalet. Al tifnu ha'lilim ve'elohim ha'sechal lo tasu lechem. Does Pasuk Hei stand as its own unit? How do you know? No. It's not Ani Hashem Elokecha. Makes sense also content-wise because we're talking about certain issues with the Hakurava of Karbanos, right?
Right.
We're talking about Pigol, right? What's interesting is that even when we finish the Pigol, we don't have an Ani Hashem Elokecha. Where do we have it?
After the
discussion of Peah and, right. and Leket in the field, meaning Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud are all included in one thing that ends in the end of Pasuk Yud with Ani Hashem Elokecha, right? Where's the next conclusion?
You'd bet.
But it's different. How is it different?
It's Ani Hashem.
It's Ani Hashem. Right? Same way. Where's the next ending?
Yud-Dalet.
Also ends Ani Hashem. Now there's more similarity between the end of Yud-Dalet and the end of Yud-Bet because they both end not only Ani Hashem but Elokecha Ani Hashem. V'chilalt et Shem Elokecha Ani Hashem. V'yaretem Elokecha Ani Hashem. In fact, it's very slight change from Ani Hashem Elokechem versus Elokecha Ani Hashem, but it's definitely different, right? Okay. Pasuk Tesvav goes with Tetzayin, which ends Re'echo Ani Hashem. If you look at the end of Yudchet, it's very similar, just as one word. V'hafta L'Re'echo. Not Re'echo Ani Hashem, but Re'echo Kamoch Ani Hashem. Interesting. You consider this to be interesting?
More
coincidental. There are three types of chatimot. What's the difference between the first group that ended Ani Hashem Elokecha and the last group that ends with Re'echo Ani Hashem?
Re'echo. That's not linked, though. The difference is not that.
Well, what's the difference? We'll see the links in a second.
Well, the endings are different.
They're different. What's the difference in content? Shu, are you cheating? Anyway, what's the difference in content? The first ones are Benadon Makum Lezer Benadon Chavir. What about the ones in the middle? Hello, Kach Ani Hashem. Which ones are they?
Well, the first one's very much.
Are they Benadon Makum Lezer Benadon Chavir?
Hybrids.
Hybrids. It's where you're using Shvua, let's say, just using a Kli of God to hurt your friend, to steal from your friend.
Right.
Combination. If it were just this, they ain't. But what's interesting is that when we start part two, part one ends, I think, in Pasuk Yutes. Let's take a look together. At Chukot Ha'Tishmoru, right? It ends with a discussion of Chukim. But then, a few Pesukim later, we start with things which should remind us, and also have Chatimot, things we saw in the first part of the parak. Let's start with Shlishi. Everyone ready? You see how Chav Gimel ends Pasuk Chav Hei. How does it end? See that? And then we have the Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Elokechem. You can see the same endings via Reisim Elokech Ani Hashem. Mm-hmm. And then the Ahavta Lo Kamocha. Does that remind you of anything? Mm-hmm. We can go through each one of these and I can see if you see the connections. Or we can take a look at the handy dandy book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at the handy dandy book. I'm going to take a look at page 77. 75. Not 77, 75. Right now, I want you to look at the relationships between the second part of the parak, which is Yud Tes Chaf Page through Lamed Zayin, and the first part of the parak, which is Gimel through Chaf Beis. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So you have the first four pieces. The first four pieces. It's not in the same order. But we had Ish Ima Viyaviv Tiro Et Shartotai Tishmoru. In Pasuk Lamed we had Et Shartotai Tishmoru U Mikdashi Tiro. We had Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim Ve'lehem Asichal Atasrael Niyashavayim. Al Tifnu, now giving more specification, El Ha'avot Ve'el Yadonim. We talked about Chilul Kodesh Yom HaShlishi, how we apply it to Orla, which is Chilul Kodesh Hilulim. The Gemara, by the way, Darshan Hilulim Lashon Chilul. We had Pa'at HaSadeh, now we have Pa'at HaRosh. In the middle we had the first round, and it's Na'iva Lasitin Mishal. Now we have Mipnei Sevet, whatever, Via Reitim Elokech Ani Hashem. A very similar last part, Lotasu Aval Bamishpat, the Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, now with all the forms of Tzedek. The Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha turns into the Chiddush of Ve'ahavta even to the Ger, and then we end with Shri Yaskukim. So the point I'm saying is that the Torah has certain categories that are models of Kedusha. Ve'ed Adam Lamakom, Ve'ed Adam L'Re'ehu, the reason I use the word Ve'ed Adam L'Re'ehu is because the Torah uses that word. The Torah doesn't use the word Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, right? Where's the first halachic context where the Torah uses the word Re'acha?
Halachic.
In the Aseret HaDibros, right? The Aseret HaDibros begins with things that are Ben Adam L'Makom. Then it talks about things that are actions that are problematic in themselves. Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov. And then it has slighter, more subtle versions of that that are problematic because they involve your re'acha. What are they?
Austin.
Lo ta'ana bi-re'acha eit shaker. Lo tachmod.
Eish re'acha.
Eish re'acha. Lo tachmod. Eish re'acha. Two lo tachmod mentioned, right? There the problem is how you're relating to your re'acha, right? Or your re'a. So here too the Torah uses a very similar formulation, right? Not ve'ahavta l'chavercha kamocha, but ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, right? Doesn't say lo tamod al dam chavei recha, but lo tamod al dam recha. Ani Hashem is how it ends, right? So the second part of the parak is developing further in other, applying to other cases the concept of kedusha that were presented in the first part of the parak. Remember in Parakhov we had a question. What was our question in Parakhov? Something from the middle of nowhere. What was it? Where did it come from? Ovin Yadoni is one of the examples given in Perek Yutet for Kedusha, which is now latched together with what was presented in Perek Yutet, together in Perek Chaf, when talking about the Onesh that one gets. There's an Onesh for Arayos, there's an Onesh for Molech, the common denominator is Onesh Misa. There's an onish misa for everything on this list, right? But Moloch and Arayos and Oviadoni have onish misa. Perek Chaf is built off Perek Yudches, Perek Yudtes, or both of them?
Both.
Both. Meaning Perek Chaf takes what was in Yudches, takes an element of what was in Yudtes, and puts it together. In fact, and this will be a good lead-in to what we're going to be learning about in Parshas Emor today, I believe the prakim of Parshas Emor continue what Perek Chaf did in relation to Yudtet. They each take one of the things mentioned in Yudtet and develop them more at length. And you can see in the left column here on page 75, each of them, we didn't do them yet, as we go through, we'll see the details. You might ask, where are the main Adam L'Chavero things that were mentioned in the second part of Perek Yudtet, and the second part of the first part, and the second part of the second part? They're in Parshas Bahar. In fact, there's even one Yisr which is repeated in Parshas Bahar. People know Parshas Bahar, the Yisr of Onah, which is mentioned here when it says, Lo Tonu Oto Tager, Pasuk Lam Gimel. It says the same thing, Onah, in Parshas Bahar, because I learned from the fact that it's mentioned twice that one's Onah is Mum and one's Onah is Tvarim. To give you an example of how Bahar develops the aspects of Kedusha, mentioning it in many ways, we get to the issues of Kedusha through the transition of the Arayos in Perek Yudches, which are about Tumah. Tumah is a continuation of what we were talking about in the first part of Sefer Vayikra, right? Tumah is the transition, but then Kedoshim adds another added element beyond avoiding Tumah of striving for Kedusha. That concept of striving for Kedusha really leads us into the rest of Sefer Vayikra. And not just in a broad conceptual way, but in a real practical example way, right? We have the example that I'm the Makom, that I developed in the end of Kedoshim and Emor, the next four Prakim, Chaf, Chavalef, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel. And then we have the Medav L'Chavero developed in Bahar. We'll see if we get further, then we'll see each other. Everyone got the idea? Now we're going to go through it more specifically, but it's not like the important thesis thing. Okay? All right. So let's now turn the page to Parshat Emor, which is this week's Parshat. Parshat Emor has four prakim in it, right? The first two are very similar to each other. How are they similar to each other?
It's the same that Hashem is saying Moshe itself, the Kohanim.
They're about the Kohanim.
Right.
They're not both about the Kohanim. Perek Chaf Bet is not about the Kohanim.
Not there and shine it. Not there and shine
it. I mean, they're both directed to the Kohanim. They're both the laws that are supposed to be told to the Kohanim, right? That's true. Okay. They're similar in that way, but that's not where it ends. Perek Chaf Aleph begins by talking about the fact that Kohanim need to avoid Tumah, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that are Tumah. There's death, he's marrying the wrong person, right? Okay, fine. The next thing it says there is... what? It talks about all the marriage issues. It talks about a Kohen can't be a Baal Mun, right? It's a new Dibor starting in Tes Zayin.
Right.
Okay. Chaf Bet, similar or different than this? The beginning of Chaf Bet is about avoiding Tumah, right? Later on, it talks about Baal Mum, starting in Pasuk Yud-Zayin. So, are they the same thing, different thing? What's the difference between Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet? Chaf Aleph is about the Kohanim and Chaf Bet is about Kachim. They have similar halachos for the Kohanim and the Kachim that they're offering. They both need to avoid Tumah. Marriage can impact both of them. The Isurim the Kohanim have of who they can't marry because they're eating the Kachim. Now, if a Kohen can't marry certain people because he's eating kachem, obviously those people can't eat kachem, right? And Baal Mum applies to both. A Kohen being makriv the korbanos can't be a Baal Mum, and the korban he's being makriv can't be Baal Mum. Take a look at page 77, and you'll see the full scope of the parallels between the pieces here. I'll take a minute so everybody can see all the pieces here. To a large extent, if we look back at page 75, for the two models, right, it's basically, we had Pigol and Chilul Kodesh, which is talking about the objects of Kachin that gets developed in Chaf Beis. And then we had the Peah of Asadeh turning into the Peah of Head, which in Perek Chaf Aleph is applied to the Kohanim. Part of the interesting thing here about Yutes and Chaf Aleph is that the Isurim of cutting the Peos of the Head first mentioned in general in Perek Yudtet regarding all Jews, and then mentioned specifically regarding Kohanim and why they mentioned about the difficulty. But I'm trying to show you how Chaf Aleph is further developing the concept that was presented in Yudtet. So the similar halachos about Kohanim and about Kachim are similar but importantly different. There's a chiddush in Perek Chaf Bet, which is why it's after Chaf Aleph, which is how Perek Chaf Bet goes further than Chaf Aleph. Why do the Kohanim have to be careful about not being Tamei and who they marry? They need to maintain their holiness, right? Correct? Mm-hmm. Their holiness is connected, Pasuk Chet, to the fact that V'kidashto ki et lechem elokecha hu makriv, kodesh yeloch ki kodesh ani Hashem mekadishchem. I make the Kohanim holy, and they need to maintain their holiness. Or as the parak ends, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, achat ha-parochet lo yavo v'al mizbeach lo yigash ki mumbo v'lo yechalel et mikdashai ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Now let's look at the beginning of Perek Chaf Bet. Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe l'Emor, daber l'Aharon v'Elvanav, v'yinazru mikatshei v'nei Yisrael. They need to be careful how they deal with Kachim. Why? Why do I have to be careful with how Kachim is dealt with? Who made it holy? Kachim. Really? God is makdish akarba? Here's an animal. The animal's created totally chulin, right? Who takes this animal and changes it from chulin to Kachim?
The person separates it.
Person separates it can generate kedusha that needs to be protected.
Apparently,
so. Ve'lo yichalalu et shem kachi, asher heim makdishim li. The name of God is sanctified by. No, who is makdish a korban?
Him,
the Jewish people, right? Positive vav. Ve'lo yichalalu. Or let's start positive test. V'shamru et mishmarati v'lo yisu alav chet u'meitu bo ki yichalalu ani Hashem mekadisham. You know, the significance of God making people holy is that they can generate holiness. Pazitetvav. V'lo yichalalu et kachei v'nei Yisrael et asher yorimu l'Hashem. Yisiru otam avon, very similar. Hashma. Be'ochlam et kacheihem ki ani Hashem mekadisham. Or most importantly, the conclusion of the parak, Pazik Lamed Beis. V'lo tichalalu et shem kachei v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Ani Hashem mekadishchem. The Jewish people have the ability to make a kiddush Hashem or a chilul Hashem. This pasuk, by the way, the repetition in Lamed Bet as a klal is the source Chazal used for the broader notions of kiddush and chilul Hashem, both by doing mitzvos versus doing averos, and as far as a minyan, how do we know you need 10 people for a minyan? V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Toch means it has to be a group. The sanctification of God's name is done within a group. But the chiddush of Chaf Bet is that holiness comes not just from the fact that God makes people, the Kohanim, holy. Holiness is something that the people God makes holy can make holy. That's pretty holy. You with me? Adi, you with me? You see it? I don't see it. So you don't see it. You got it. You see it. Okay. So now we're going to move on to Perek Chaf Gimel. Are we ready? No one seems to be ready, so maybe we should move. We're ready. Perek Chaf Gimel. So it starts off. Vayidav Hashem Moshe Ledaber El Bnei Yisrael VeYamar Talehem Moad Hashem Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh Eloheim Moadai. What is this parak about? It's the Moad Hashem, right? The times of God. Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh. Do the days come from God or come from us? They are the appointed times of God that we pronounce in the Mikrei Kodesh. So again, you see this duality we were talking about in the Perkim before. Elohim Moadai. First one is Shabbos. Shabbos is mentioned first. I say because it's the most common, it's the first of the Moadim, but also because it is the paradigm for what Mikrei Kodesh is. The rest of the holidays are going to be called Mikrei Kodesh. And basically, on some level, they're like Shabbat. Now, because Shabbat is different, that's why Pasuk Dalet begins with a new opening. The difference between Shabbos and the other Moadim is that Shabbos, you don't have to determine the time. It's set, right? But the other Moadim, you have to play a role in being Tikru Otam B'Moadam. It's not just to pronounce it holy, it's to pronounce the time when it is. You understand why there's a new introduction before Pesach as opposed to all the other Yom Tovim, because the rest of the Yom Tovim, Pesach and on, are different inherently than Shabbat. There's even a discussion in the Gemara about whether Shabbos is considered a Moed or not, and that basically has to do with how you understand the relationship between the two parts of this parak. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, it begins in Pasuk Bet, Taber Abanei Yisrael Amarat, Lehem Moadei Hashem, Zegul Dham Korei Kodesh, Elehem Moadei, and Shabbos is the first one mentioned. On the other hand, Pasuk Dalet begins again, Elehem Moadei Hashem, because in some way, Shabbos is different than the other Moadei. Everyone with me? Okay. So the Torah mentions now Pesach, and then Shavuot, what's it called, Shavuot, right? And then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, basically according to the order of the year. Just like in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas are the only two places in the Torah where all of the Moadim are discussed. Meaning there are three other places where the Torah discusses three of the Moadim. What three? Shalosh Regalim. It's mentioned twice in Sefer Shmos and once in Sefer Dvarim, right? But there's two places in the Torah where the Shalosh Regalim are presented as part of the broader context of the Moadim. Here in Parshas Emor and the other places, Parshas Pinchas with the Korbanos Musaf. And the truth is, to be fair, Parshas Pinchas is not really about the Yamim Tovim, it's about the Korbanos brought on the Yamim Tovim. So Parshas Emor is really the only place that talks about the Yamim Tovim as Yamim Tovim, all of them. Actually, we use the word the Torah uses as Moadim, as Mikroi Kodesh, those are the words the Torah uses. This is the only place where they're all spoken about. By the way, where is the first place that the word Yom Tov is used to describe a Yom Tov? Mishpatim? No, not mentioned in the Torah. The phrase Yom Tov doesn't appear.
Good Friday.
Before Good Friday, yeah. It's mentioned in Megillas Esther. How they made the days of Purim into Yom Tov, days of Yom Tov. So again, meaning the reason we describe the Yom Tovim as Yom Tovim is because later on the Yomim Tovim were seen as a model for the institution of other Yomim Tovim, and therefore, since that was a phrase they used to refer to the days they were instituting that were based on the earlier days, that's a phrase that became accepted. But it's not a Torah phrase. Everyone understands that point? In any case, getting back to the point. So we have the Yomim Tovim in the order of the year. Okay, fine, very nice. If you had to divide them up, how would you do it? Based upon how they're presented here. Devar Yedavers. So we have first Pesach, which is mentioned separately, right? And then in Pasuk Tes, we begin a new Dibur, which includes. See, it's true that it includes Shavuos, but the first part is not about Shavuos. And just to be fair, you know, to be accurate to how it's presented here, let's not call it Shavuos. It includes 2 days and the process of counting that connects the two of them. The first day, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, is what?
16th of Nisan.
Sorry?
Bringing of the Omer.
Right, the Yom Hanafata Omer. You know, I think that's the most accurate description. And the end of the process is the day when we do a tnufa on the Shtei Alechem, the Kivsei Atzeres. We'll get back to that a little bit more soon. Meaning there's a framework embodied by Sefiras Omer that connects the two karbonot brought at the beginning and the end of the process. Then we have a new dibur in Chamishi, Pasuk of Gimel. That new dibur introduces Rosh Hashanah, and then Yom Kippur, right, Pasuk of Avinon, and then Sukkot. We'll get a little more to Sukkot in a minute. What's the relationship between the different pieces here? I think the answer is that there are basically two frameworks of Chagim, Moadim, Mikroi Kodesh in the Jewish calendar. The first begins when? Pesach, right? B'chodesh HaRishon. Right after Pesach, I mean the second day. Right? The day right after the Akrovas HaPesach, we begin with the Yom HaNafata Omer. We have the Sfirat HaOmer, which concludes with Shavuot, right? The second framework begins when? The second framework takes place not in the first month, not extending from the first month, but extending from the seventh month. And you see this from the fact that begins in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Daber Avnei Yisrael Emor B'chodesh HaShvi'i Be'echad L'chodesh. Then Pasuk Chav Zayin says, not B'chodesh HaShvi'i Be'esor L'chodesh, but Ach be'esor l'chodesh hashvi'i hazeh, the same seventh month we were just talking about, on the 10th of that month, and then Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Da'aber Elanei Yisrael Emor b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh. There's a seventh month. Something happens on the first day. Then we have something that happens on the 10th day of this seventh month. Then we have something that happens on the 15th day of this seventh month. Right? Basically two frameworks of Yom Tov. The one that begins on the first month. The two Rosh Hashanim. And the one that begins on the seventh month. Shavuos is a continuation of the one that begins on the first month. And in fact, there's a word here in this parak that's only used in reference to the Yom Tov that appear in the seventh month, which is a word that's very appropriate and kind of can be used as a word to summarize the Yom Tov in the seventh month. And that word is
Shabbaton.
Shabbaton, right? If we take a look by Rosh Hashanah, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Daber Al Bnei Yisrael, Emar B'chodesh HaShviyi Be'echad V'chodesh Yelochem Shabbaton. We have to, of course, forget for a moment the connotations the word has in our own time. If we look by Yom Kippur, Pasuk Lamed Beis, it's Shabbat Shabbaton. It's the Shabbat of the Shabbaton. And by Sukkot, how does it work by Sukkot? Pasuk Lamed Tet. Sukkot is different than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because it's Bayom HaRishon Shabbaton uVayom HaShmini Shabbaton. Very, very interesting. Just to reinforce a little bit, if you take a look at the day when the Omer is waved, and I mean Sukkim Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, etc., and you compare it to the Chag HaBikurim at the end of the process, and you can see it on page 78, there are many similarities between those days. And the relationship is that, as we say in Pasuk Yud, the day of Hanafat HaOmer is the Reshit Kitzirchem. The Chag HaBikurim is the end of the Kitzir. How do you know it's the end of the Kitzir? Pasuk Chaf Beis. Uvekutzirchem et Kitzir Atzichem lo techale pa'atzotcha. Don't finish off the field. I'd leave Pe'ah over. Basically, the Omer is the time when the Kitzir is supposed to be taking place. Both of them have a tenufa, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The difference is that the Yom HaNafat HaOmer, we have a keves, one keves as an ola, right? Prayer. Forgot the lama d'arot techem is the similarity. We get to the Chag HaBikurim, we're offering seven kvasim, a par, shnei elim, kind of like a Yom Tov, and we're offering them, in addition to the ones brought as an ola, we're offering two kvasim as a shlamim, together with shnei halechem. It's the completion of the ketzira. It's the thanks for the completion of the ketzira. So on the one hand, there's this relationship that Chag HaBikurim has as the end of the process with the first day of the process, the Yom HaNafat HaOmer. There are also relationships here between Chag HaBikurim and Yom HaKippurim, see in the bottom of page 78, and the whole process of Omer and Shtei Alechem with Chag HaSukkot. And the reason why right, Bikurim and Yom HaKippurim are both in certain ways the conclusions of their process, Hashanah leads to Yom Kippur, Pesach, right? The Omer leads to Shavuot, and that's why you have the Be'etz Me'yom Hazeh similarity. But most importantly, on page 79, the overarching emphasis of this perek is on the agricultural side of the Chagim. Right? The Omer Shtei Halechem in the first framework, and then Chag HaSukkot, the Omer Shtei Halechem is the Katsir, the Reshit Katsir, until the Sof of the Katsir. Chag HaSukkot here is presented as not the Katsir, but the Asif, right? The end, right? The Katsir is when you the fruits have grown successfully and you are cutting them. Sukkot is when you have managed to collect them, and obviously there's a different feeling when you've gathered them in, the whole process is over, and you see what you have in front of you. That has a different dimension to it that needs to be thanked for, etc. Should we say more about the Sukkot here? There's a lot more to say. There's a lot more to say. Let's leave it for now. Let's continue on to Perek Chaf Dalet, unless there are questions, we can do a little of Perek Chaf Dalet. Are you ready, Perek Chaf Dalet? Yeah. Why is Sukkot split up? What do you mean? Yeah, so that's a little bit more I would speak about. What's interesting is that in the middle of the description of Sukkot, the Torah seems to summarize the whole perek. Eile moadei Hashem, asher tekru otam mikrei kodesh, להקריב ישראל השם עולה ומנחה זבח נסכים דברים ביומו מלבד שבתות השם ומלבד מנותיכם ומלבד כל נדביכם ומלבד כל נדבותיכם אשר תלו להשם שכוח או סן פתק למדס אף חמישה עשר יום לחודש השביעי בעצמכם סנת רבו סוכה אבל see the problem? So obviously, methodologically, what you'd be looking for is what's added in this additional segment and how is it beyond what was mentioned in the first segment. And basically, you could summarize it this way. If you look at the first segment about Sukkot, Lamed Daled, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, it's pretty basic, without any of the special features of Sukkot. It says, on the 15th day of the month, there's a Chag Sukkot for 7 days. First day is Mikra Kodesh, Yom Tov Melacha. 7 days you bring a korban, the 8th day is Mikra Kodesh, you bring a korban, at Tzeres Yikom Lach Zavod Alosah. So what is it mentioned? The answer is everything. What's everything? It doesn't mention, it's going to order, that it's Chag HaAsif. It doesn't mention the Talad Minim. It doesn't mention the mitzvah of Sukkot, of Simcha, right? It doesn't mention the mitzvah of Sukkot. It doesn't mention the Man Yedu Dorotech V'Sukkot HaShavti as B'nai Yisrael. I think there are a lot of things that you can say, but I think the most basic answer is can be found in the contrast between Pasuk Lamed Tes and Pasuk Lamed Daled. Let's read Lamed Daled again, which is the first Pasuk of part 1, and then Lamed Tes again. Lamed Daled. Daber el b'nei Yisrael emor, b'chamishah tzayom l'chodesh ha-shvi hazeh, chag shavot shivat yamim l'ashem. Right? Now let's read Pasuk Lamed Tes. Ach b'chamishah tzayom l'chodesh ha-shvi, b'asbechem etzvot ha-aretz ha-chog, v'chag ha-shem shivat yamim l'ashem. What's missing in Pasuk Lamed Tet? Small word. Hazeh. You understand what I mean when I say Hazeh? Pasuk Lamed Tet is not connecting the description back to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sukkot has a dual dimension to it. On the one hand, it completes the Shalosh Regalim. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. On the other hand, it completes the Yomim Neraim, or what the Torah calls the Moadim of the Chodesh HaShvi'i. You can see this very clearly in Parshas Pinchas, where the Karbanos of Sukkot are double Karbanos of the Moadim, because there's two sides to it. One could say that the first part here is the completion of the Chodesh HaShvi'i. This is the completion of the agricultural thing we started talking about in Pesach and in Shavuot, right? The Katzir. And now, Pasvachem Tzvot Ha'aretz, that agricultural thing is responsible for the Dalet Minim and the simcha of the agriculture, and maybe even the sitting in the sukkah, right, to realize that, you know, of the asif and what we're bringing in, and we realize we're dependent on God. But that, I think, is the most basic explanation for this duality. That's what I was talking about, whether we would talk about it more. But I have to ask the questions, we have to talk about it. Okay, any questions? All right, let's continue into Perek Chof Dalet. Perek Chof Dalet has, I would say, two parts to it. I had to summarize. The first part and the second part. Which have a good read. Where would you say the line should be drawn if you had to draw one line? You could disagree with me. Maybe you'll believe
massive
you
should draw one.
The massive what?
Look at it. Before that, the Hashem Moshe Leimor.
I think if you look at the content, it's not so. Up to Pasuk Tes is talking about the Shem and Zayas and the Solas, right? Mm-hmm. Yud and On is talking about
the
Mekalel. I think there's a big break after Yud Bet because we go from describing what happened to the words of God, right? That content-wise, it's connected. The obvious question about the first part is, what is it doing here? The obvious question about the second part is, what is it doing here? Let's talk about one part at a time. Why are we suddenly talking about Shem and Zayat Zach, right? Why are we talking about the Solet and the Shtemisrei Chalos, right, on the Lechem, on the Shulchan, out of the middle of nowhere, no? Everyone understands the question? I think the answer is that this is a continuation of the agricultural talking about the Moadim. We have the Moadim, which are times to thank God for our agricultural success. And then we have the products of that agricultural success and what's done with them on a consistent basis in the Mishkan. Shem and Zayas and the Solet for the Lechem. Only once you see the agricultural cycle, you appreciate that. Now the other thing that comes up, all of a sudden you have the cursor here, like why are we told the story of the cursor here? It makes sense that a cursor would be here because the cursor is what shows you where you are, right? On a computer. Why would the cursor C-U-R-S-E-R be here? Why would the C-U-R-S-E-R be here? I think we see from the answer that what happened here? Who was the person who cursed and what's going on here? We're not told very much. What are we told? Pasuk Yud. Vayetze ben isha Yisraelit v'hu ben ish mitzri v'toch b'nei Yisrael v'yinatu b'machaneh b'nei Yisraelit v'isha Yisraeli. Everything that we're being identified here is about lineage, right? Vayikov ben ha'isha Yisraelit et Hashem vayikalel v'yivi'u oto el Moshe v'shem imo shlomit bat divri l'mater don. There is a ben isha Yisraelit. Just highlighting his good side, right? His father is not Jewish, right? And there is a full-fledged Jew who are fighting, and it seems that they're fighting about, from the way it's presented, the place of this. He's a full Jew, right? But from a Goyish father within the camp, and maybe that's why he gets angry and curses God because of this, right? They don't know what to do with him. Why don't they know what to do with him?
Have the halacha yet?
What? They haven't had the halacha makala yet? We saw earlier the halacha makala. Now, on the one hand, I think the story is here because it has to do with Chilul Hashem. Someone who curses the name of God. Okay, so this is the Jewish people being called upon to apply the principles that were learned in the last couple of parashios, right? But there's more than that. Let's take a closer look. Let's look at the end of Pasuk Tetzayin carefully. What does that mean? Ish ki yakalel elokav. Anyone within the camp. Doesn't matter who. Full-fledged Jew, not full-fledged Jew. One could even understand because it's a problem in what's going on within the camp. Everyone has equal responsibility. They're equally culpable. Pasuk Tetzayin. Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam mot yumat. Why in the world are we talking about Din and Nizikin here? What's the similarity between what God says about Din and Nizikin and what He said about Din and Klala?
Where's the Chilul Hashem
by Nizikin?
But the power it's brought about by connecting them here.
Look at the end of Chaf Pez and look at the end of the Tezayim.
They're
equal. And there's a big chiddush here which we don't appreciate because we live in modern times. The line is drawn between people and animals, not within people. In ancient times, if you hit an Ezrach, so then you were culpable. If you hit a slave or whatever, right? Or a foreigner, so it wasn't the same thing. All human beings, Kagerka Ezrach, have the same level of responsibility for cursing and the same rights and need to be treated with the same respect as far as the laws of damages. Doesn't matter who it is. Versus Makeh Be'emai, Shalmenu Makeh Adam Yumat. That's the contrast. Mishpat Echad Yelchem, Kagerka Ezrach Yekan Yashem Lokechem. Again, it comes on the heel of the Makalel, about who the question was, the status of someone who's not an Ezrach who curses. Everyone with me? Next week we'll deal only with the Parshiyos HaShavua, because we're totally caught up.
Hey.
Isn't that exciting? Matt, are you excited?
Very excited.
You only look a little excited, not very excited.